Thank you. I feel like we're not worthy, but... All right, we continue on in Matthew. We are in chapter 20. And a not unfamiliar passage for most of us, but not an easy one either. Sorry, I'm trying to protect it from the wind. Let me put it the other side. That's better. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again at noon, and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And at about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. He said to them, Why are you standing idle here idle all day? They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first." When those hired at about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us and who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat." Yeah, I know. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am so generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is another one of those scriptures that makes us scratch our heads, because it seems to fly in the face of logic and it makes people wonder. I've heard several responses to this. It says, well, the theme is obviously don't start serving the Lord too early because you won't get anything extra for it. That's not what the verse means, okay? But it is more about, is God revealing his mystery, little bits at a time. One of the things that Jesus was very good at is bringing home the point again and again and again in slightly different ways to make sure that everybody got it. Paul said that God reveals his mystery that I might respond. The mystery is made known to me like a revelation. The second time Paul uses the word is mystery. Now, I'm a big fan of mysteries, and I used to love to read Agatha Christie stories because it was one of the few mysteries I would read that I didn't figure out before the end. And there was always a twist for me. But you're encouraged to try to figure it out. But you see, the thing is that there's a twist at the end that makes you wonder. One of the fun things to do as a coach is to engage kids in games and competitions. And one of the ones that seems to be very popular is Ultimate Frisbee. And you throw out the Frisbee and they begin to play. And the thing is they start counting how many times they get to the other end of the field. And quite often at the end of the game, I'll say, very good, it was 47 to 20. And they said, no, it was 5-4. I said, oh no, I was counting passes, not how many times you scored. And they said, but that's not what we were playing. And I said, it doesn't matter. I was the one keeping score. And so often what we want to do is we want to say, no, God, you're not keeping score. We are. We'll keep score and we'll tell you what to give us at the end. God doesn't work that way. At First Church Houston, a First Church Methodist Church in Houston, there was a man by the name of Bill Henson. And Bill Henson told this illustration when he preached from this sermon. He says, there's a little girl in our congregation who went shopping with her mom. Her daddy had given her $5 for her birthday to choose whatever she wanted. And she chose a shiny necklace with beads that were painted to look like pearls. Best I can do. The little girl loved them so much she wouldn't take them off. She slept with them. She wore them when she went, she bathed. She wore them when she changed clothes. She would not take them off. So one night as he was saying prayers and putting her to bed, he says, I love you. And she says, I love you too, Daddy. He says, do you love me enough to give me your pearl necklace? There was a long silence and she turned away. A few nights later, the same thing happened. He says, I love you, baby. He says, I love you too, Daddy. Do you love me enough to give me that pearl necklace? No, not yet. And a tear appeared in her eye. Several nights later, the same thing happened. I love you, Daddy. Do you love me enough to give me your necklace? And the little girl took it off and said, Daddy, I love my pearl necklace, but I do love you more. Here, you can have my necklace. And her dad reached into his pocket and took out a small velvet box that had a real pearl necklace in it. See, all this time, she thought she was being asked to sacrifice when he only wanted to know, did she trust him enough to receive the real pearls? That is what the scripture is about. Do you trust God enough? The illustration I began with, the idea that what you want to do is that you want to live a life of capricious freedom, doing anything you want, any time you want, any way you want, and then accept Jesus on your deathbed and you get everything together. I gotta tell you, that's a futile attempt at happiness. I don't know, but when I lived a lifestyle similar to that and lived with people who had a lifestyle similar to that, they felt really good about themselves on Friday and not very good about themselves on Saturday, particularly early in the morning. And on Monday, they felt empty. On Tuesday, they felt empty. On Wednesday, they felt empty. And then it was only when they got to Friday and they could forget about how they felt on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that they were happy again. When you follow Jesus, the happiness is your natural state. It's not something that you want to wait to the end to get. I'm going to use a dated illustration, and I apologize up front. When I was a young boy, there was a show on TV called The Flip Wilson Show. And it had a continuing sketch that was one of my absolute favorites. It was the church of what's happening now. And in the course of this, Flip Wilson is the preacher. And he says the church is going to serve the Lord. It's got to get up on its knees and crawl. And the audience yells, "Make it crawl, preacher! Make it crawl!" He says, and then the church has, once the church has learned to crawl, it's got to get up on its feet and walk and go out into the community. They said, "Make it walk, preacher, make it walk." He says, and then we have to walk across town and we got to reach out to those people that persecute us and give us trouble and reach out and show them compassion. And the congregation yelled, "Make it crawl, preacher, make it crawl." We want desperately to do the things that God wants to do as long as it's what we're expecting. But we want to be the ones to keep score. If you don't let God keep score, you can't play the game. If you don't want to let God keep score, you can't play the game. I have another dated illustration on the front of the bulletin. It's a guy named Monty Hall, for you guys who couldn't figure out who that was. And he would also say, "Do you want what you got, or do you want what's behind door number 3? Do you trust God enough to want what's behind door number 3, knowing that he is the one that put it there? It's not a zonker, it's not a bad deal, it's a great deal. But you can't see what it is. Do you trust the one who's offering it to you? That's what the scripture is about. Because I think when we get to heaven, there's going to be no contest to see who is most deserving of grace or who earned the most or who needed the least amount of grace. We're going to look at the pit that he pulled us out of and look at where we're standing. And we're going to go, "Oh, I didn't think it was that bad." We're going to look at the people who were there around us and say, "Wow, I never knew they were in a struggle like that too. I didn't think they'd ever make it." But then we'll glance back at the pit we climbed out of one more time and we'll say, "You know, I didn't think I would ever make it without Jesus." But God's grace is greater than all our sin. We don't know how big our sin is. We don't know how far we're fallen because we're living in a fallen world and we feel pretty good about ourselves. Compared to the image of God that we were created in, we've fallen just a little bit short. We've fallen a little bit further than we actually understand or believe. But will we trade what we have for what God offers? Do we trust the one who's offering enough to make that trade? If we do, trade is worth all the world and heaven too. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come before you today, we are standing in the presence of grace, understanding that we didn't earn it, we don't deserve it. It isn't fair, it isn't right, but it is loving. And we give you thanks for the grace that we've been given as a gift of your love to us. And all God's people said,
amen.
And now we come to a time where we reflect on our